Welcome back to the Florida History Podcast. I'm Carter Krishnar.
And I'm Robert Bucciolato.
Robert, we're doing a new season series, very different than the series on Disney. And this is on, yeah, very different. This is on the Second Seminole War, which has been the most requested topic for us to dive into deeper. Not only by people who listen to our podcast regularly, which I understand because they're Floridians, but by people who contact me from outside saying, hey, by chance, have you done a podcast on this since you guys host the Florida History Podcast? And I'm always like, no, you know, we touched on it with Andrew Jackson and other topics. But yeah, and honestly, this is a area of study, and obviously want to get your perspective on this, Robert. This is an area of historical study that we've seen change during our own lifetimes. When I was a kid, this was just a kind of not a throwaway topic, but just, you know, part of a chapter of a history book, right? You know, a couple paragraphs. By the time the early 2000s rolled around, it became a more important topic in Florida history. Now, in 2024, I would say it's a well-covered topic by academics in American history, and now even in some of the newer biographies or newer conversations about John Quincy Adams, Andrew Jackson, and Martin Van Buren, there's lots of talk about this conflict when there wasn't in the earlier biographies. If you look in Schlesinger's biography of Andrew Jackson, The Age of Jackson, there isn't much on the Seminole Wars. It's mentioned in passing. If you read the more recent works about Jackson, Robert Remney and John Meacham, it's all over the place. And so that just kind of shows you the evolution as to what's happened in terms of this topic. So, you know, your thoughts on that, Robert. I mean, it's just a change. It shows how history is always kind of evolving even hundreds of years or decades after the events.
Well, first off, I'm shocked that we are, I believe we're in the sixth year now of doing this podcast. And I can't believe we haven't done one on this topic. And I guess one of the reasons is the fact that we have sort of skirted around it a little bit, but we're native Floridians, and we were sort of raised in this climate of this topic being almost window dressing to other aspects, namely, you know, the actual settling of the state, or I should say the territory, on its way to statehood. As you had mentioned, there's been a great evolution in the way that this topic is presented. And the past few years, there's been a great acceleration of how much is being written about this. And you really do get a sense here that this is one of those topics, like much of anything having to do with colonialism in any aspect, where we're going beyond this impression of the explorers or the colonial elements, whether they are English or Spaniards or, in this case, Americans, who are pioneering and the great amazing things that they created and built and settled, and how they were the cornerstones of our modern society. And we're now taking the time to really explore what was lost. That is, the people that were already here, the indigenous elements that were in many cases forcibly removed or violently removed. And we're really kind of flipping the script almost. We're not really focusing a lot of these great works that have been coming out the past few years. The focus isn't just on the settler, but rather the cultures that have been muted or silenced, that were transported or transplanted out of these areas in which we built Florida. And it's a very interesting dichotomy in how old Florida presented its past. And what we're trying to do now is, and I think it's one of the reasons why the two hosts of this podcast always try to talk a little bit gingerly when we lay out our mission statements here, is because we have listeners that are on both ends of the spectrum here. On one sense, we have listeners who want to really just pull down the temple and just let the sunshine come in and just explore events for how they are. And then we have people that take a lot of pride and a lot of interest in Florida's past and Florida's history and Florida's mythos. And so they're trying to sort of reconcile all the things that they learned as children and as Floridians with the new realities that we're uncovering. This was one of the things that we spent a lot of time talking about when we were doing our Jackson series, this transformation in his view of how he is perceived.
And for those who may have missed that, go ahead and repeat for our listeners that, including your anecdote about the fair or the parade in Tallahassee, the annual parade.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, there, you know, where we're at right here in Tallahassee, there was a spring. Well, there still is a springtime Tallahassee every single year. Just happened, as a matter of fact, and the big showstopper, like, you know, the end of the Macy's parade, where there would be Santa Claus, you know, at the end of the parade every year, used to be Andrew Jackson on this white steed. And, you know, this was how he was sort of built up and portrayed to all the different, you know, school children. There would be a Andrew Jackson one-man show that was, in the curriculum that we would have to either read, or there would be a taping of it that we would have to watch and write an essay on it. And all that is gone now. There's now a more accepted view that he did some pretty vile things, especially during this time period that we're about to talk about. And as a result, it makes this view of Florida history not only more complex, but a bit more murky.
Yeah, and certainly the other aspect of this is there has become a mythology around the notion of unconquered, the Seminole people being unconquered. And when I was growing up, you never heard that, right? It wasn't anything of significance. Now, I mean, there are people who listen to this podcast will probably say, oh, well, it was FSU athletics that popularized that. Okay, maybe in some circles, yes. But I think in general, it's been because there's been a revisitation of this period. There's been a reexamination of this period. And part of it, a lot of it is looking back at indigenous cultures, understanding things from a different point of view beyond Manifest Destiny. We're going to get into that in a couple episodes, the whole Manifest Destiny thing and how it relates to the Seminole in particular. But I think there has also been a revisiting of the historical reputation of Andrew Jackson, as you mentioned, Robert, which has invited all of this other stuff. And for us in Florida, it's much more personal because a lot of the changes in the view of Jackson apply specifically to what happened in this state or in what was a territory at the time. And I think part of it is also because of the First Seminole War, which we're not talking about in this series, but that was Jackson's war. That was entirely Jackson's war. We've talked about that in the Jackson series. I talk about it in my latest book, The American Conquest of Florida, which is called that because Andrew Jackson invaded Florida and fought the Seminole. That's what he did, the Seminole people in the first Seminole War. So this goes kind of hand to hand with the historical reputation of Jackson. And if I want to apologize to our listeners in a sense. I mean, I feel like we're always talking about Andrew Jackson now on this series, right? You know, we got away with it from Disney and the Disney thing. Maybe we're going to talk about Jackson in the Hall of Presidents, but we're always talking about Andy Jackson. But there's a reason for that, right, Robert? For better or for worse.
Well, and I. You know, I got to tell you, we took a very long time to talk about Jackson. We took a very long time to talk about Disney, and we've taken a very long time to talk about this stuff now, but about the Second Seminole War. But the reality is that this is a part of the state's history that more than any other right now is in the public zeitgeist.
Yeah.
And this is the part that is being rewritten as we speak. There's a lot of our history that is being rewritten, and it isn't as though it is in the process of being washed over or changed or uniformed or to fit a message or anything like that. What's happening is that people's sensibilities change, people's understandings change. And what is happening is the canvas is getting larger in this matter. Historians are including aspects that they did not before. And this is just one other aspect that for a long time there really wasn't an interest among historians to tackle, because they were just sort of interested on what the settlers or, you know, the American Floridians were doing, or what the federal government was doing, or Florida's journey from territory to statehood, or even slavery in Florida. But they weren't really too interested in the Second Seminole War, which is interesting because most of the great American, particularly in the military, most of the great military figures for the next 40, 50 years of American history took part in this war. It was a very interesting and fascinating part of not only Florida history, but the American narrative. I mean, this was their generation's war in a lot of respects.
Yeah, and just to close our intro episode, I've gone to several battle reenactments now, and I can't tell you how popular these things are in this state. Now, I know Civil War reenactments are a thing on the East Coast, right? Now, Second Seminole War battle reenactments have become, because we had the reenactment at Natural Bridge, but there was a skirmish, right? We didn't have that culture in Florida. You have it in Virginia, you have it in Pennsylvania, you have it in Maryland, you have it in Tennessee. The Second Seminole War battle reenactments, whether it's in Ocala or Dade City or Jupiter or Fort Myers, there are reenactments all over the state. The village of Miccosukee, which is right on the Georgia border, that tells you how all-encompassing these conflicts were to what is now Florida. There are these massively popular things. So as we record this, I went to the Dade Battlefield, which is in Bushnell in Sumter County, just a few weeks ago. And it is now like this pilgrimage place that was just kind of this throwaway state park until recently. I was talking to one of the volunteers for the state park system there, and how many visitors come. And Bushnell is not it's a very rural place. If you're familiar with that part of, I guess we would call it West Central Florida. I'm not sure even what region we call Sumter County. But But that was interesting. And then I went to a battle reenactment not long ago, Battles of the Loxahatchee, in Jupiter. And it is this massive event. You'd think it was springtime Tallahassee. You think it's this huge festival, like this huge fair, like yeah, so many. Now, granted, it's in Palm Beach County, which has got a lot of people. So any kind of event may draw people. But I was shocked by the number of people who are interested in that period of history, that if you grew up in this state, when we grew up, was not that big a deal. In fact, I think the territorial days, to a large extent, were glossed over until we got to statehood. So, so we're going to explore that in this series, Robert, and we'll start with the Treaty of Payne's Landing next week. Thanks for listening.